You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. A little bit special today as we are recording this live on William Hill Racing Radio. So if you are listening live, you're getting a little behind the scenes look at how we do things here at William Hill Racing Radio HQ. Ben Barrett is in the presenter's chair today, and I'm delighted to say that across from me in the studio is Andrew Mount. How are you, sir?
Yeah, not so bad, thanks, Ben. How's it going?
Not bad at all. Now, we've only had a couple of races today. So far, have you been in good form in those opening few races?
Managed to find the second winner, but I think if you bet my selections over the three races to a pound stake, you'd be 25 pence down. So,
well, 25p I can live with. I don't mind that. That's okay. 25p I can live with. The big question I want to ask you before we get going is that you were here yesterday.
I was indeed.
The infamous Luke Elder Cheltenham quiz. How did you get on?
I think you're mistaking the word infamous for boring.
Boring.
I think I got 1.5 or 2 out of 10.
1.5 or 2 out
yeah,
of 10.
I think I beat Alex Dunn, but then...
Should we just blame the quality of the quiz for that rather than your knowledge?
No, I think my knowledge was lacking, so...
If you were with us on William Hill Racing Radio yesterday, Luke Elder, presenter extraordinaire and Saturday primetime TV host wannabe, decided to throw a Cheltenham Festival quiz out. Andrew Mount and Alex Dunn, one of our TV pundits, was in the studio, and apparently Andrew didn't do all that well.
No.
Oh. A couple of things to mention. Firstly, the weather.
Oh, yes.
How...
Today or
just in
any day?
Just in general. It has been...
Hailing most of the morning.
Most of the morning. It's been horrible. It's been wet. But up and down the land, we've had a bit of a flat feeling around the office, if I'm honest with you, with regards to seeing inspections called and racing abandoned. And as somebody who gives so much to the sport, is there a way of describing just how frustrating days are where you get these sort of huge gaps between races, there's not the same pizzazz to things? Just how frustrating is it to lose the calibre of cards and the quantity of cards that we've had?
Yeah, that's right. And you also get the dilemma as someone who sort of writes a daily tipping column and sometimes writes spotlights for the Racing Post. You're doing work that then, you know, predicting the winners of races that are and never run, which is a bit frustrating. And it's Sod's Law that if you decide I'm going to wait and write this column in the morning and leave it to the last minute in case the meeting's abandoned, there'll be a further inspection at 10 o'clock or 12 o'clock, or it'll go ahead anyway. So, and again, with Ascot this weekend, it's soft, good to soft in places at the moment, but there's plenty of rain forecast. There's talk about that meeting potentially being in danger. So at least we've got the all-weather, apart from Southall's and the high wind, Southall and the high winds last Sunday, the all-weather to keep us going. So, yeah, there's enough out there. And as I'm a big fan of the all-weather, and particularly when the weather's bad and there's a strong headwind at the likes of Newcastle.
I relish
meetings like that. I was in my element yesterday.
But even then, they were looking and they were monitoring things as the day went on, because those winds were almost dangerously high at times.
Yeah, that's right. We lost a few races at Chelmsford the other day because of high winds. So it's a bit frustrating, but it's in the middle of February, so what do you expect?
That's
We've got Cheltenham around the corner, so there's plenty to look forward to.
Now, I'm sure that the team here and the pundits and listeners have heard pretty much everything there is to hear about the Grand National weights being released yesterday. So I wanted...
It's a toss of a coin, really, in terms of the boring stakes, which whether it's Luke Elder's Cheltenham quiz or the Grand National Weights discussion, that's the dullest thing that's going on at the moment.
Without trying to go into too many individual horses or too many specifics, I want to ask you a slightly wider question. What is the benefit or perceived benefit of announcing such a big announcement and making such a razzmatazz about it, especially at the venue at Aintree yesterday? There was a huge lunch event. It was all songs and dances. It was all brilliantly put together. What is the benefit to you and I, either in the industry or punters listening in, to having those weights announced this early when there's so many key runners that are going to go to Cheltenham and then see what happens, or are going to have different options this far out?
Not a great deal, really.
Okay.
I suppose if you fancy one anti-post, you've got a good idea whether the horse is going to get in the race or not.
Yeah.
And look at he's 71st in the weights, or he's 48th in the weights. And hearing from connections in terms of the well-being of their charges and whether they're intending to run at the festival or not.
Yeah.
But mostly it's a benefit for journalists to have a nice lunch, I guess. And it's one of these ones that it's a great idea if you're one of the ones who's invited. If you're not invited, it's a gravy train. It's rubbish. It's like most things, really.
Yeah. Well, that was announced all yesterday. William Hill do have those anti-post prices available on .com and on the app. So if you do like the look of some of the news that's come out of that meeting up at Aintree yesterday, feel free to take advantage of that. Of course, Tiger Roll is a very, very short price to make it three in a row. Hopefully Tiger Roll gets there in one piece, and hopefully Tiger Roll will at least give anyone a run for their money, because if you're backing a 6-1 shot, and I think we're the best price on the high street, certainly, maybe not online.
Yeah, well, his SP was 4-1 last year. If 6-1 could look very big if he rocks up at Cheltenham and wins the cross country
fair
again
point, yes.
And of course, he will be latched onto by the public on Grand National Day,
definitely.
And the firms will want to shorten him up as well. So could end up going off 7-2 favourite.
Just as a side point, I've spent a number of years in shops prior to working behind the scenes.
Any shops in particular, or shoe shops?
I'm not allowed to mention the brand of the shops, because it wasn't the same brand that I'm working for now. But working in betting shops on Grand National Day is absolutely fascinating, because the amount of people who just back off hunches or off the storylines as much as the horses, I actually think is fascinating. The amount of people that would come in, and we're not talking 50p each way, we're talking sizable sums of money, and just ask the question, who was so-and-so riding, because they've heard of them, name me the female jockeys, name me the grey horses, and who won last year, for example. So I agree with you when you say that the Tiger Roll story will likely, just on the sheer weight of support, mean that 6-1, should we come to the day, 6-1, I don't think will exist, purely on that people will want to say they had the 50 quid each way when Tiger Roll made it three in a row.
Yep.
So I think absolutely fascinating as we get to the Grand National Day itself, but we are nearly 2 months
away. I think a lot of hardened punters as well will want to have at least a fiver on the day, just so they can give it a cheer and say, yeah, I backed him when he made history and won three nationals in a row.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a bit like Royal Ascot, Ladies' Day. The question you get asked as a bookmaker is, which one's Frankie on?
Yes, which one's Frankie on? What colour is the Queen's hat going to be? Exactly. That was another one. Right, part of the podcast, that's a bit of a recap. The Wednesday podcasts are always a slightly awkward. It's too late to talk about the weekend gone. It's a little smidge too early to talk about the weekend coming up. There is a whole quality weekend coming up. Really hoping, as we've said, that Ascot gets the go-ahead, because Surname back in action should be absolutely fascinating. More on that both on William Hill Racing Radio and, of course, with the Daily Racing Podcasts up until the weekend arrives. Right then, Andrew, a couple of races time. Tomorrow's racing, unfortunately, has been decimated. Kelso's gone, Fontwell's gone, we've been left with Leicester and Chelmsford. If you are popping into one of our retail services or taking advantage of heading to williamhill.com and looking at William Hill's Betting TV, you can also take advantage of any of the racing at Maidan. There's a reasonable card over in the UAE, and that will be both free to air online and obviously built into our retail service as well. Here on Racing Radio, we will prioritise the UK action, Leicester and Chelmsford, as I've mentioned. 6 jumps races at Leicester, 7 on the flat at Chelmsford, and we've asked Andrew to pick a couple of them. Where are we going first, sir?
I'm going to go for Muratello, I think, in the 3:30 at Leicester. This is a Novices Limited Handicap Chase, Class 3. Only 4 runners, but certainly an interesting one. The market's headed by First Flow for Kim Bailey at 11-10. Now, he was a winner 3 runs ago, but he was the 9-1 on favourite, and in the last 12 months, he has been beaten in 5 of his 6 starts, often at short prices. He was second by half a length when favoured at Sandown last time out, and rallying once headed, but also a beaten favourite the time before at Ascot. And I think we might see another beaten favourite effort from First Flow here. And the one I want to take him on with is Muratello for the Nigel Twiston Davis Yard. Now, He was a real eye catcher at Haydock last time out, second start back from following wind surgery. And he was running on a track that was strongly favouring those who raced up with the pace. The winner that day, Billingsley, the 5-2 favourite, made all, the third Clan legend, prominent. And in coming from off the pace to finish second, he marked himself down as one to side with next time out. And here we are next time out. So so he's not won in Britain yet. He didn't win over hurdles, but did have some tough tasks on occasions, including in the EBF final at Sandown last term. And I just think that we're going to see the benefit of that wind operation sooner rather than later. And I say, against the pace bias at Haydock last time, that was a good effort. And as the 6-4 second favourite at the moment, I'd certainly be looking to him to upset First Flow here.
That's the 3:30 at Leicester, 2 miles. It is a novices limited handicap, class 3 for 5-year-olds and above. First Flow is 11-10 market leader here. Muratello is currently 6-4. Albert's Back is 9-2, and Destin Janak is 14-1 outsider. We're recording this around about 3:15 on Wednesday afternoon, so of course, all prices subject to change. There'll be plenty of specials and distances, and if you want to start playing things like forecasts and stuff, you are more than welcome to do so via williamhill.com or on the app. That's the 3:30 at Leicester. That's the first of your choices. Andrew, where is next?
I'm going to the last race tomorrow. That's the 8:30 at Chelmsford. Okay. 10 furlong handicap, only a class 6 contest, but numerically very competitive. And we've priced this one up now, which is interesting, because I think I say we, meaning William Hill, I think we've got
the
it
royal we.
Yes, I think we've got it wrong.
Good.
Basically, and there could be some good value in here. Now, there's pace amongst the low drawn runners here from stalls 2, 3, 4, and 6, and assuming that Temujin, on his debut for Mick Appleby, runs as he used to do for his previous handler. And well, he was with Charles Hills, then had one run for Ali Strong. Now, so Mick Appleby doing so well with horses he takes over from other yards. We'd have to keep an eye on Temujin in the betting, currently 14-1, but he might just get taken on for the lead. And I think they're going to set it up for a closer here. Now, two that I like, and one of those is Baston Hill. Although stall 13 could make life tricky, trained by Mark Usher. Was well beaten last time out, but that was on the return from a break of several months, and it was at Lingfield. And he just held up, never on terms, according to the Racing Post, beaten 6 lengths at 20-1. But you look at his Chelmsford form, he's had 3 runs over course and distance, 3rd, 1st and 2nd. And he didn't wear his usual cheek pieces last time out on return from that break, and the headgear goes back on today. Stevie Donohoe on board as well. It's just, although he's a hold-up horse, generally speaking, does he want to, stall 13 could still make life a little bit tricky. But it's 16-1, I've got to have something on it. But the main play will be Park Nasilla, though, the filly for Henry Spiller.
Okay.
Now, she ran over a mile here last time out, and in what was a farcical race, 7 runners and apprentice fillies handicap, they've absolutely crawled. It's turned into a 2-furlong sprint. Now, the dead heaters that day, one of them was making the running, that was Venusta, and the other was Agent of Fortune, the 7-4 favourite. Now, she's performed miracles, Agent of Fortune, to actually dead heat in that race from off the pace, and she's franked the form by following up at Lingfield just 24 hours later. Now, there were 2 other hold-up horses in the race that caught the eye. One was Park Nasilla, who was 4th, failed to settle, kept on, just couldn't get a blow in, and was beaten 2 lengths. Now, she's back up to 10 furlongs here. She hasn't won over this trip, but it should certainly suit giving her running style. And given the big field and the fact that there's plenty of pace angles, she's going to be finishing to good effect. Both her wins have come at over a mile at Chelmsford in fields of 15 runners. So with 13 runners and a good pace, hopefully, then I think she'll be there or thereabouts at the business end and make some appeal at 15-2. Should also mention that just behind Park Nasilla that day was a horse called Spanish Main, who's my nap today on Wednesday. Runs in the 6 o'clock at Kempton. So if Spanish Main franks that form for the hold-up horses in that slowly run race, then confidence in Park Nasilla would increase further. So you might want to be hovering over the 15-2 price with William Hill round about 3 minutes past six. And if Spanish Main crosses the line in first place, perhaps have a couple quid more on. So, Park Nasilla over Baston Hill, both drawn wide, but hopefully both can creep into the race late on off a strong gallop.
A few to take a look at then for that. The final race of tomorrow in total, that was the 8:30 at Chelmsford. 1 mile, 2 furlongs, handicap class 6. The Hat-Trick Seeking Subliminal is 4-1 market leader. Creative Talent, 13-2. Mooka Magic, 15-2. Park Nasilla, that's the nice selection from Andrew at 15-2. 17-2 and bigger the remainder. Now, first thing to note, we do have 13 of them listed. And I can tell you that as part of WilliamHills.com's racing specials, we're currently playing 4 places on that one instead of 3 at a fifth of the odds. So there's a few to consider from Andrew's little chat there about it. So if you do like the look of something at a bigger price, you are going to get that wiggle room of bringing 4th place into play.
Yeah, just looking at this, that race last year, even though we talk about low draws being favoured at Chelmsford, first 3 were drawn 12, 14 and 11 and all came from off the pace.
So okay.
We were in a field of 14. So let's hope a similar scenario unfolds tomorrow.
Indeed. Baston Hill was another one nicely mentioned. The outsider of the lot is a 16-1 poke, does have a course and distance win to the name. Right, that just about brings us to the conclusion of this live edition of the William Hill Racing Radio Daily Podcast. Of course, if you are listening to this as a regular podcast, it's not live to you, but listeners who are tuning in on William Hill Racing Radio, I hope you've enjoyed this slightly different approach to our podcasting efforts. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, cheers, Ben.
Thank you. And there will be another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast tomorrow. Be sure to download that. Subscribe via Audio Boom, iTunes, or wherever you get your audio on demand. Thanks again, Andrew.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.